next couple weeks. I'm sharing a two-part message. Actually, I've been working on this message for a few weeks. The Lord spoke to me right after the Holy Days. The title of the message has some depth to it. That's why I needed two messages, I believe. The title of the message is Fighting with Faith. The way of the Lord is narrow and full of battles, isn't it? Physical and spiritual. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, our King, Lord, I pray that the meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth, Lord, would only be of you. Lord, whatever is of the flesh, that you would strike it. Lord, whatever is of the spirit that I have missed, Lord, that you would bring it forth. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. So we fight with faith, but we need to be able to fight with faith. And again, we're going to get into that based on how the Lord defines it, creates it, builds it. And so we fight spiritual battles and we fight physical battles. Maybe some people don't realize the spiritual battles, but I find that the spiritual battles tend to consume a lot more of my time and energy than the physical ones do. Because the physical ones are always related to the spiritual battles. We fight daily. Sometimes we don't notice it because we're focused on our work, we're focused on our family situations, but in all those things, there's a battle going on. There's battles going on. And the Lord reminds us, particularly in His Word, that we need to be focused on those battles each day. As human beings, we have a tendency to want to get ahead. We want to press ahead. I worry about what I got to do next week, next month, next year, my next life. And that distracts us from the immediate battle where we need to be spending our time, energy, prayer, all those things. I was talking earlier about being, you know, having a servant heart for all things and being convicted and moved by the Word of God and what our responsibilities are. And sometimes we shirk our daily responsibilities because we are too focused on what we think is coming down the road. That's a mistake because nothing but the breath you breathe is promised to you. You don't know if you have a tomorrow or a next week, a next year. You just don't know. I hope we do, but that's up to God. And so our energy needs to be focused on the moment, that day, what's going on. And we get distracted by that. And that causes us to not be operating the way we should be that day in that moment. I know what's coming, so I can't do that this today because I may have to do this tomorrow. That's a mistake. I'm not saying we shouldn't have plans. I think it's okay to plan. But the plans of men are folly before God. And so if whatever God calls us to in that moment needs to change whatever it is we may plan. When it has to do for the Lord and His kingdom. It doesn't mean we make promises and break them. What it means is we should be very careful about what we do promise and know that we need to say no about certain things so that we can accomplish what God has put on our plate to do that day. It says in Matthew chapter 6, so don't be anxious about anything. What will we eat? What will we drink? How will we be clothed? For it is the pagans who set their hearts on all these things. Your heavenly Father knows what you need in them all. Seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will worry about itself. Today has enough tsuris, a Yiddish word, tsuris, troubles for today. When we're overwhelmed about what we may see in front of us, it paralyzes us to do anything in the day. I've referred to over the years this character called H.R. Puffin Stuff, right? The giant puppet when I grew up. And the theme song, I remind us, was H.R. Puffin Stuff can't do a little because he can't do enough. If you're overwhelmed, you're not going to do anything, right? You're just going to lay there like a latke. You're not going to be motivated. You're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel hopeless. That's why the Lord encourages, be focused on the day so that you can be successful in that day. Tomorrow will bring its own set of things. If you're so worried about what you think might happen or what you perceive is going to happen a week from now, you may lose focus on what you're doing today. And do we trust the Lord to provide our daily bread, our daily clothing, right? This is not detracting from that we should order our lives and that we should plan and we should be good stewards of everything that God gives us. This is an open invitation to just do whatever you want and not be prepared. We should be good stewards of everything. Our finances, our time, our service, all those things are true. But they have to be in God's order. In order to do this, we need faith. In order to be focused just on the day and not worrying about the rest of our lives, we need faith. If we have little faith, we worry about everything. Oh no, or the horrible what if. Or for most of us, what ifs. What if this happens? What if that happens? Why are you worried about something that may never happen? It might. But if we can't get through that day, how are we going to get through the other ones? And it distracts us. Again, I go back to, we can get overwhelmed and hopeless when there's too much on our plate of things that may or may not happen. Faith is Yeshua. If we don't have a relationship with the living God, then we're not going to have any faith. And this not only extends to our daily routines of living, but it extends to the world conditions ahead. I'm sure all of us have kind of looked at what the condition of the world is and we kind of throw up our hands going, what's the point? Well, the point is God says, if you have faith in me and my word, I've told you how it's going to work out. And I've already shown you and told you that I got you covered. But I've heard many so-called believers say, this world is nuts, and what's the point of anything? Unfortunately, that leads many of us to acting just like the world and not like God's people. What's the use? What's the point? It won't hurt anything. Everybody else is doing it. Since when is everybody else doing it made it right? In fact, it makes it wrong. If everybody's doing it, I guarantee it's wrong. Because the truth in the Bible is always in the minority, not in the majority. The majority's never been right in the kingdom of God. Never. Not once. That's why it puts pressure on us. I want to do it the right way, Lord. I want to do it your way. But we get beaten down, particularly when we are overwhelmed or allow the world conditions, circumstances to beat us down and wear us down, then we end up not having much faith. And we go, nobody's going to notice. God's not going to notice. Or we get totally convinced that what was wrong is now right. Lifestyles. Choices of identity. I think I am a cow. I ergo am a cow. I'm a dolphin. You should see me swim. But that I'm making fun of it, but that is the world we live in, that we have this theology even within the community of God that says, I am what I think I am, not what God created me to be. So there's a clash of the truth and the lie, right? And in our society, we rationalize that, well, it's all okay. And the next step is worse, it's okay with God. And that challenges our faith. We see the world doing what it does, and I'm guarantee you some of us go, well, why did they get away with it? Why is this left to stand by God? And the Lord says, if we read a scripture, he says, I got it covered. The wicked shall not prevail. Do you trust the Lord and the word says that the wicked shall not prevail? Or do we trust in what our eyes see and what our ears hear? It's a daunting task, especially if we're looking at the big picture. That's why the Lord says, be focused today. Be focused on what I have for you today. We're not supposed to worry. He's worries of fear about what is around us, what's coming. Maybe we're struggling. We do have struggles. We have financial struggles. We have health struggles. We have relationship struggles. And so we our faith ebbs and flows maybe. And the Lord's trying to say to us, fight. Fight on a daily basis. Don't be overwhelmed by the big picture. God's in charge of the big picture, right? Nobody here is in charge of the big picture. And the reality is, when it really comes down to it, we are each only responsible for ourselves immediately. Yes, as husbands and wives, we have relationships where particularly men have an accountability to their wives and to lead them and to lead our children, raise them and train them. But the very basic element is we're responsible for ourselves. If you don't have strong faith and courage in your family, why would you expect your children, your wife, your mother, your aunt, your uncles to have any? Does our life speak of strong faith that will allow us to fight with our faith? We need to fight with our faith that God is real. That would be God's faith. We fight in our lives for everything. We fight with God's faith that he has given us. We don't create faith. God does. And he doles out a portion to us, all of us, a portion that is enough for us to be victorious. But do we fight with faith or are you fighting with your will? Because your will lose. Do we fight with faith that it's going to work? I'm going to follow the Lord my God no matter what and it'll ultimately work out. Because why? Our goal is not this life. Our goal is the next life. Amen? If we lose sight of that, we're in real trouble. Because this world is fallen. There's not going to be any satisfaction in this world. No matter how you cheat, fight, claw, whatever. There is no satisfaction in this world. Only in the kingdom to come and being in it. And sometimes, so we struggle in this world fighting with faith because we have lost sight of what we are, what the goal is, what the reward is. God gives us faith to fight so that we will be around in the final verdict when the judgment comes. We can't beat the world in this life. We beat this world in the next life. Amen? That's a very different way of looking at it. Our faith that God provides is built on do we believe his promises are real, which gives us the ability to fight with faith, to partner with the faith that is given to us, particularly through the Holy Spirit, through the Ruach HaKodesh. I personally, in my life, I found that pursuing the day, the week, the year, the whole life without knowing where it leads is useless and pointless. If we don't know what the goal is in our hearts and our minds, living this life is pointless. there's no end game that works for us. Look, I think most of us in this room, we've spent time as unbelievers. Some of us have been believers a long time. Some of us are newer believers. You know, and again, believing comes in all shapes and forms, doesn't it? We've all met them. I'm a believer. What are you a believer in? I'm a believer in believing that Dorney Park is the best amusement park in the world. That's definitely a lie. Anyway. If we don't know what we're pursuing, whether it's on a day, a week, a year, or a whole lifetime, the pursuit is useless and pointless. In fact, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about these things. And indeed, the book of Lamentations talks about these things. Without God, without the Lord, without us being centered and our whole lives being built on that, life is useless and pointless. It's why our identity in the Messiah is so important, so that we do have purpose in the highs and the lows and everything in between. Life is meaningless without God and fighting against the physical challenges, right? They become pointless without an eternal life to struggle for. Our struggle is for the prize at the end of the race. And a lot of us lose sight of that in our daily living. Your goal, although it's a reasonable goal, is I would someday like to retire. I will never retire. Our goal in life is not to retire. Our goal in life is to retire with the King in the eternal kingdom. That's our goal. But we lose sight of that when we have all these foils and foibles and stuff going on in our life. We weigh this world more than we do the eternal kingdom, don't we? There's no faith there. You know, at least in this world, I know what I got, and I'm going to try and keep what I got. If you hold on to this world, you will die in this world. It says in Romans 5:3, but not only that, Let us also boast in our troubles, because we know that trouble produces endurance, and endurance produces eternal life. Amen. None of us like this. I got troubles. Boast in your troubles. I'm working it. I'm working God's plan. Now, you do have to look at your life and see if how much sin you got going on and what you need to repent of and change and resolve and work. And are you on God's plan or are you on your plan? Is a lot of us unfortunately find ourselves on our plan trying to fit God into our plan. And God keeps saying, that's not the plan I want you on. You need to be on this plan. I know that. I've lived that life. Renji and I have lived that life. Being on our plan and getting on God's plan. It can be messy and sticky and frustrating because it usually means a total change of life. It means getting out of your comfort zone. Look, we all get comfortable with lousy stuff, don't we? We can get comfortable with lousy stuff. I guess because we know it. We find comfort even in misery when we know it. I don't really want to settle for that. The Lord doesn't want us to settle for that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, don't you know that in a race all the runners compete, but only one wins the prize? So then run to win. If you know what the prize is, the Lord has shown us and told us how we run it, we'll run to win. Don't run it to come in 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th, or 10th. You might as well not run to the race, and that's where a lot of evil kind of works. People get, it's like H.R. Puff and stuff. Well, I can't do it right, so I can't do enough. So I'm just going to go the way of the world, and I'll plod along in it, and we'll see how it goes. Look, we brothers and sisters, we know how it goes. If you're not running the race, the end's not good. Now, every athlete is training, submits himself to strict discipline, and he does it just to win a laurel wreath that will soon wither away. But we do it to win a crown that will last forever. That's fighting. We fight for the king's crown. And we have to, we need to kind of always be looking at that in our lives. And the best way to do that is within our community, to press in on the Lord and the Holy Spirit in this community so that we can be fed, we can be challenged, we can be exhorted, we can be encouraged, so that the world doesn't pick us off and we don't rationalize. You know, clear, the community of God is clearly different than the world, and it's different than the secular world's view of religion. We are not a religious organization. We are not a denomination. We are a community of Jews and Gentiles living together in faith, learning and doing how we walk in the kingdom of God. This is a full-time job. It is not a part-time job. And we all struggle with that. We all struggle with it. The world always gets in the way because we have fear. Fear drives us not to be compliant with the Word of God, because it takes faith to be compliant with the Word of God, because the reward is at the end and not during the cycle. The reward comes at the end. Salvation is at the end. It's not at the beginning. We have a promise of salvation, but we run the race and we get it at the end. If that wasn't true, then you wouldn't have to run the race at all. I already got it, the reward. That's why Paul says, I've run the race. I've done it the right way. And Paul suffered unto death. Now, I hope none of you have to suffer unto death. But clearly, the world tells us some of us will suffer unto death. I'm not glorifying it, yet the Lord says, in all suffering, including your death, I am glorified. That's uncomfortable in the flesh. Yes, exactly. So, we can fight with weapons of this world. If we use them to complement God's weapons of choice. And the first weapon of choice is faith. We have a security team. Just announced today, there's a synagogue in Pittsburgh got attacked. 7 are dead so far. No security team. Look, the Lord protects us. We're vigilant. But we use things of this world, but we use them here by faith. We trust in the Lord to protect us. And we do what we can to help deter people. But it's the Lord that watches over us. And when we stick, when there are some in this congregation that serve in security, they stick out their necks for us in the physical and the spiritual, so that we can have a sense of comfort in what we do while we're worshiping. They're watching over us for that. But they're doing it. We do it here. It starts with faith. We have the faith in the Lord, and He protects us, but we also have a responsibility about myself. Starting here, I am a shepherd, and I have a responsibility to care for the sheep. And so we take whatever actions that are reasonable that are based on faith. The Lord used physical things to fight with when He decided to. We're going to talk a lot more about that. The weapon of choice for all of us has to start with faith. And Moses is a good example. In Exodus 17, Moses said to Yehoshua, "Choose men for us. Go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with God's staff in my hand." Well, already we know there is the physical thing going on to fight and the spiritual. They go hand in hand together. Some people say, "Oh, I don't like weapons, I don't like guns, I don't like this." But wait a minute. We need to look at how does God use the things that He has allowed us to create to defend His name, His word, even ourselves. How does He put that together? So we see a physical element here and we see the spiritual element. So what does the staff represent? Moses' staff represents Moses' faith in the Lord. You're not going to beat too many people up with the staff. You might get one or two, but after that, it's going to be trouble. It represents, Moses says, I'm going with you. The Lord is going with you. It represents the faith that God said he would fight for us and he would win our victories. He knows what a staff is. It's a hunk of wood. Yet in the hands of the faithful and powerful, it has great power. Right? There's nothing special about that staff except God used it as a vessel to wield great power. It wouldn't have worked if Moses hadn't had faith. So we should all go out on eBay and find a buy a staff. Just in case, right? In Numbers 31:3, Moses said to the people, equip men from among yourselves for war. They are to go out and fight Midian in order to carry out Adonai's vengeance on Midian. When we fight as the Lord has instructed for his purpose, we will defeat any obstacle and any enemy of the spirit or of the flesh. We fight. We fight with the means that God gives us. In this case, they went out and they had swords. And they had slingshots. And whatever else they had. But they went out by faith, and they're always going out to fight those greater than them in numbers and in equipment. The one thing that makes the difference is their faith and knowing that God is going to wield his hand. And we need to know the same thing in our lives. We may not all be going out to fight the enemy that's in armor, but we're going out to fight the devil every day in things that we do. We need to, for some of us, we need to cross the threshold and realize that the natural world and the supernatural are meshed together. We experience the natural and the supernatural. The devil counts on you not realizing we're in a supernatural battle, that we fight people and not powers and principalities. When we go as the Almighty directs us, and with his righteousness, miracles happen. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 4, because Adonai your God is going with you to fight on your behalf against your enemies and give you victory. Do we still believe it? Are you in a position where you still believe those ancient words that God's promises are forever and amen and that he never lets up? His promises are always good. They don't change. It's why it's so important that we understand all of the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that God's promises are forever and amen, that the promises of the Tanakh made have never been broken by God, and that they are a witness and a testimony of who he is and who we are or who we can be in him. Torah is the testimony of the Creator's faithfulness when we fight as he fights. If we take half of the Torah away, three quarters of the Torah away, as much of the church has done, we lose the testimony of how God fights and how we fight with him and how he fights for us and how he never breaks his word. When we fight as God has us fight through the testimony of his word and his spirit, we won't lose. It says in Deuteronomy 1, but Adonai said to me, tell them, don't go up and don't fight because I am not there with you. If you do, your enemies will defeat you. Of course, it's talking about the children of Israel saying they came back from the good report, they got a bad report, but it should have been a good report. And they said, oh, we made a mistake. We said, now we're going to go and take the land. And God says, uh-uh. They didn't do it God's way. They didn't have faith in God's way. They put their faith in men who saw with men's eyes and said, oh, the land's really good, but oh, we'll never be able to take it. And maybe that's the same way in our lives, that when we don't walk in great faith on a daily basis, we lose the ability to say, I'm going to be victorious today, tomorrow, and the next day. For it says, it is the same today and tomorrow for us. For us, just as Moses, same battle, same enemy, same weapons. Not much has really changed. Anything's really changed. Just we may look at the weapons of today's world warfare as much more daunting than they were thousands of years ago. But should that change our standard where we're at with God and how we trust Him? For some, it does. We must walk carefully with our God, with our eyes wide open. Not just our physical eyes, our spiritual eyes. The hearts to our souls are open. That we walk and see and hear with spiritual eyes and hear with spiritual ears, that we so that we can walk with our God carefully with Him. As I started this message, the path with God is narrow. We live in a world, a religious world, that wants to make the path to God wide, like a super highway. Come on, get on. Anybody can get in here. No matter what you want to bring to Him, bring it on. He'll accept it all. It's all good. When we say no, our world is very judgmental of us and very oppressive of us. It's turned into a world that as long as you are super liberal, then you can say and do anything you want. But if you're a conservative, you can't say anything because you're a bigot. I probably will go to jail someday for saying stuff that the world doesn't like. You'll visit me? You better be in there with me. You guys think I'm taking one for the whole team? Come on. Let's go. Come on. We got you covered, Rabbi. We'll visit you 3 times a week. Yeah, I'll pray for you. We need to be advancing with faith in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God expands. The question is, are you expanding with the kingdom of God? And that means when we expand, being on the front lines of that battle with faith. A true faith that God is God and He can do anything He wants, and we know what His word is. We know how His spirit talks to us. Because you know what? If you're just doing it in the flesh, you're going to get a flesh wound and you're going to fall to the back of the line. You may even get out of the line. Faith, real faith. This is where the faith is tested. You know if you have faith when you are battling it face to face, whatever it is you're battling. That's when you really know your faith. And if you're staying with God, then you're having victory. If you're falling and you're kind of turning into the world, you know, I need to file for disability because I can't make enough money and so I need to lie about disability. It's a bad example. I'm just saying that's giving into the world. What has God equipped to do? You know, if you're entitled to disability, get disability. I have zero problem with that. I'm just trying to make an example of when we give in to the pressures and we start lying to gain some kind of favor and advantage in the moment that we're in. I think we live in a government, and whatever they provide that we have a right to, we should be able to partake of that. Nothing wrong with that. So I don't want you to misconstrue me. Look, I think lots of medications are good. There's certain things I won't do and won't take. But I think you should get a polio vaccination. I think you should get whooping cough. I mean, my point is that God created the medications, right? He allowed for it to be created. Yes, I think we should pray about what God wants. There are certain things, this is my stand, I'm not a big fan of flu shots because they don't help most of the people. There's complications to it. It's different than taking maybe some people don't even take aspirin. I think there's an appropriate time to take an aspirin or Tylenol, maybe. However, you know what I mean. I'm not an expert about this stuff, but I know that the God has provided for us ways to help our physical bodies to endure. If you need surgery because you've broken something, you have a defect, your body's breaking down, I say get the surgery. If you're having surgery to change your body because you don't like the way you look, I have a problem with that. God created us wonderfully. But as a creation, we age. We should age gracefully. Again, this is not about telling you what to do. I'm just trying to share where faith is and how things operate. And you have to decide those things for yourself. But that there's balance in the kingdom of God and what he provides. Because as Paul says, everything's available to you, but is everything profitable to you? Right? That's the measure that we have to have. Somebody can say, he was talking about plastic surgery. You wouldn't believe what happened on the Bema today. Oh, my gosh. Clearly, I've had none. Just look at me. I've had none. Oh, dear. We can protect the flock. We can protect the flock with training, planning, and equipping. Yeah. Even with guns and such. And that's fine. But I'm reiterating that it's only fine when we are equipped with the faith in Yeshua and being armed first with his weapons that he provides first. And of course, that takes us to Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God. Use all the armor and weaponry that God provides so that you will be able to stand against the deceptive tactics of the adversary. Our enemies most of the time appear as flesh, don't they? But the enemies are fueled by supernatural evil, right? The devil. Yeshua says, Lord knows, they say, forgive them for they not know what they do. Look, a lot of people that are evil know not what they do. But they should, and we're supposed to let them know. So enemies most of the time appear in the flesh to us. Why? Because we kind of relate to the flesh, because we are flesh. But we can know their deception. Here's one of the challenges. We can know the deception of the when the evil is using the flesh, right? In verse 12 it says, "For we are not struggling against human beings, but against the rulers, authorities, and cosmic powers governing this darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm." So the supernatural, evil and the supernatural, manipulates humanity. I hope you all know that already, but that when we're fighting these spiritual battles, we need to remember who the real enemy is. Because we have a tendency sometimes to kind of get off the supernatural and focus on the flesh. Because we're flesh. We're spirit too, I get that. But we, in our humanity, we tend to we forget about the battle that we're fighting in the supernatural, and we focus on the natural. This takes faith. It takes trust in the God of Israel. So we fight first with spiritual weapons that make worldly ones of value. Everybody following me? We fight with spiritual weapons as is given in Ephesians, sword of the Spirit, right? Belt of truth, the helmet of deliverance, all those things that we use to enhance our ability when it's appropriate to use other things to help protect the flock or our own families, for that matter. So this truth is it's foundational in understanding how we protect and indeed how we advance in the kingdom. Fighting with faith is the most powerful weapon we have. I'm going to say that again. Fighting with faith is the most powerful weapon we have. And that includes waiting on the Lord to direct our actions. A lot of times we get in trouble because we don't wait on the Lord, which means you're not praying enough. Pray, and I guarantee you the Holy Spirit will speak to you. Now, you may not hear the Holy Spirit because some of us are rusty at it. Some of us aren't even sure what the Holy Spirit sounds like, right? Sometimes the devil sounds like an angel of light. If a voice is telling you to do something that's sinful in the Bible, that is not the Holy Spirit. No matter how it's framed, we have to have wisdom. If you don't know the Word of God in a working knowledge of the Word of God, you're going to be in trouble. You don't know what's a sin and what's not a sin. And unfortunately, in our culture, where we go, wait, we don't. There isn't any more of that. We just do what Jesus tells us to do. Guess what? He wrote it all. He spoke it all into existence. The popularity of Christianity today is that we like to read the abridged version of the scripture, the little one, the little bit. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is valuable in training, discipling, and correcting to raise us up to be able to do all good works. That's not an abridged version. The New Covenant didn't exist when that was written. Oh, well, we've advanced. That's old news now. The Lord, if we listen to Him, will direct us in our battles, and it may not be the way we think. One of the examples, I mean, the Lord gave me lots of examples in the Bible, but one of them that comes up is Joshua. Joshua parallels Moshe. It says in Joshua 8, Adonai said to Yehoshua, don't be afraid or fall into despair. Take all the people who can fight with you. Fight what? Physically, spiritually, emotionally? I think it's probably both. With you, set out and go up to Ai. Because now I have handed over to you the king of Ai and his people, his city, and his land. We are victorious when we follow the Lord and not get ahead of him. I've gotten ahead of the Lord many times. Sometimes he warns me to slow down. Sometimes he just says, you go do it. We'll see how it works out. Real faith in our fighting leads always to the glory of God. And we don't give glory to God when we get ahead of him. Right? That's why we need to have spiritual ears to be able to hear. We need to pray. We need to wait on the Lord. Our victories pile up when our fighting leads to the glory of God. The victories pile up. When we fight with His tools, the victories pile up. When we fight with His Word, when we present His Word, living by His Word, and teaching His Word. That's what we are. We are a faith community that believes in all of the things of God, beginning with faith, Holy Spirit, repentance, His whole Word, right? Those are the things that we focus on. It says in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, always carry the shield of trust. Trust is related to faith. Always carry the shield of trust. If you have no faith or trust, you're in big trouble. Maybe you are in big trouble. Because it's that shield of faith that allows us to protect ourselves from those flaming arrows, right? We'll be able to extinguish them as the devil throws them at us. No faith, no trust, no trust, no victory. No faith, no trust, no trust, no victory. And what must we do before, during, and after every battle? What are we supposed to do? Pray. And you pray at all times with all kinds of prayers and requests in the Spirit, vigilantly and persistently for all of God's people. Ephesians 6, verse 18. Prayer. Lots of prayer. If things aren't going well, you don't perceive they're going well, you're not sure you're hearing from the God, prayer. Prayer is the answer, opens the doors for everything. Prayer, prayer. And you know what? Not just yourself. Pray with family members, husbands, wives. Pray with the rabbi. Pray with the elders. Find partners in prayer. We should all, we've been encouraging people to have accountability partners, right? Men with men, women with women, accountability partners where you can open up your life and share things so that the devil can't use them against you. You guys want to hear more? Well, next time, same bat channel, same bat time.